We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. When it's time for a new credit card, the best ones do way more than just buy stuff. And that's why U.S. Bank offers credit cards that make every day more rewarding. Earn cash back, score points when you shop, dine out, travel, or binge watch, or get a low intro APR. U.S. Bank credit cards were designed to fit your lifestyle. So make every day more rewarding and check out usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS version. I am Scott Genstead, joined as always on Fridays by Andrew Laird. We certainly appreciate you guys tuning in, listening, downloading the podcast. If you could rate or review the podcast, that would also be fantastic. It does help us out a lot and also helps people find the podcast, which is also a very good thing. Andrew, we have a week under our belts. I think it's important. We'll kind of talk about week one a little bit, but I think it's important to learn from week one, but not crazy overreact to it. That's always tough going into week two.
Yeah, I feel like we went in last week thinking like it was going to be a weird week and we weren't really going to know what's happening. Not that we know what's going to happen this week either, but it just felt like it actually wasn't as weird as I expected. Like, did anything like jump out at you that you would even react to or overreact to?
I was surprised, A, by the lack of penalties. It seems like refs really kept the flags in their pocket, especially on holding. I think there were like 82 holding penalties week one last year when they were really focusing on. There were like 18 this week.
Yeah, AJ Green also would like to have a word with you.
Yeah, no doubt. And then just like how I didn't think it was like as sloppy as I thought it'd be in terms of like execution on the offense. The tackling was the one part that was really sloppy. There was a lot of really bad tackling. And I guess you expect that. You know, you don't have no preseason games and not the like full go practice you're used to. I think the tackling is one of those things that, you know, guys just haven't done in 9 months. So that was the one thing I lost. But I thought that execution, I thought play calling, I thought, you know, most of that stuff aside from, you know, Jerry Jeudy not being able to catch the ball, I thought everything was pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I think what was kind of funny was everybody reacting to Aaron Rodgers winning or helping somebody win the Millie Maker. And everyone's like, I mean, he was like, 2 or 3% owned on DraftKings. And I just looked at that and it was like, everybody was playing Devontae Adams last week. Like he was over 50% in most cash games, if not higher than that. He was definitely the highest wide receiver. And it was just like, there were that many people who loved Devontae Adams and were just like, Rodgers is not going to throw to anybody else and just pushed that down to 3%. And it was like, man, that's whoever had faith in him, who I believe is a Packers fan from the DraftKings. I saw some tweets about that. He was like, I play him every week. And it was like, oh, Well,
that's
great.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so that's maybe that works out.
Hey,
but
it only takes once, right?
Exactly, exactly. But
yeah, I think the crazy part of that game is Adams obviously went off, and you and I talked about how we liked Adams more than even Michael Thomas last week,
yeah,
especially Price. But, you know, Alan Lazard and Marquez Valdes-Scantling stepped up. They both, you know, for their hiccups last year, and Valdes-Scantling dropped a lot of balls last year, both those guys actually looked really good in that game too.
Yeah, and they definitely had – MVS definitely had at least one drop.
Yeah, well, I mean, that, you can always lock that in.
Right, but sometimes, like, that's enough for Rodgers to not throw you the ball again. But I noticed, not to dive into this week already, but I noticed Lazard is actually more expensive than Valdes-Scantling, which seemed odd to me, unless that's just me overreacting to week one.
No, I mean, I thought they both look good, but I mean, I think in a DFS kind of situation, I'm always going to want Valdes-Scantling just because he gets the deep balls, he gets the deep shots, and they always take a couple to him, it seems like. And if he reels one of those in, he's suddenly worth it for the price. I saw that too on those two. I actually have him on the same bullet point as the Packer number 2/3. And I was a little surprised that MVS was cheaper too.
Yeah. I mean, everybody had Boston Scott last week and
the free square always works.
Right. Well, actually it's funny you say that because when we recorded last week, I don't think Miles Sanders had been ruled out yet, but we knew that, Anthony Gibson was going to be like home.
Antonio.
Yes. Anthony. I don't even know who Anthony Gibson is.
I'm sure he's good, though.
Antonio Gibson. And we were kind of like, why would you play the running back of a team that was a six to eight point underdog? Of course, they end up winning. But the number of cash lineups from like very sharp players, at least the ones that I consider sharp, that played Scott and Gibson was really surprising to me, because I just thought everybody would be like, oh, well, I'll definitely play Scott because that's a much better situation. I mean, same game, and you get to have the favorite. So, you know, it helped people kind of pay up at wide receiver. Some went to Chris Godwin with Mike Evans, Gimpy. Of course, Evans is the one who scores the touchdown. But I saw some Julio, and it was just like the Scott, like Scott ended up being more of a free square in my mind.
Me too.
That ended up allowing me to get to Davante Adams. And so, with Lamar, and I don't think like every free square we get, I feel like is not nearly as good. We have one this week that may not be that great, but a lot of people might play them anyway. And so, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, and we always like Boston Scott didn't do anything, but you know, there's a lot to be said for just being not even that good, but just what 4,500 lets you do elsewhere is so key. I mean, it's just big. I don't want to get full of sleep, but I have so many cheap receivers I like this week that it's a really interesting, there's a lot of receivers that are questionable. Like a lot of big names are questionable. I think a lot of them are going to play, but I mean, you know, already banged up, after week one. And there's a lot of guys, wide receivers, that I think are just flat mispriced this week. It's a really fascinating build this week.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm looking at the DraftKings screen right now and just guys with Qs next to their names. And it's like Julio Jones, Godwin, Smith-Schuster, Evans, Galladay, A.J. Brown, Sutton, John Brown, Devontae Parker, Jameson Crowder, Alshon Jeffrey.
And those first five you named are like five of the best 10 receivers in football.
Right.
Like, I mean, those are big, big names right there.
Yeah. And
so obviously it's going to be a week where you got to check. You got to check Saturday news. You got to check Sunday morning inactives. It's going to be a very much of a, you know, make sure you're online from 8 to 10 on Sunday morning, I'm afraid.
Yeah. And there are some really good running backs on this slate. So cheap wide receivers is just what I'm looking for, Scott.
Absolutely. I like the way you're thinking. Let's jump into this slate. First of all, we're talking the main slate as always. That means tonight, the Cincy-Cleveland game from Thursday is not going to be on here. New England-Seattle Sunday night. Pretty good game, but won't be on here. And also New Orleans and Las Vegas, which is Monday night, which I actually think is going to be a really fun game. I'm actually looking forward to that game in the new Vegas stadium.
Even though I assume nobody's going to be there.
Nobody's going to be there, but I just think that I think without Michael Thomas, it kind of levels it a little bit. I think we're going to see a bunch of points there. It's going to be an interesting barometer of where the Raiders are. Their offense looked pretty good last week, but it was against Carolina.
Yeah.
But Henry Ruggs looked good. Brian Edwards is an interesting guy. They have some weapons. I don't know that Derek Carr can get them the ball, but I think that'll be a fun Monday night game at least.
Yeah, I agree.
So let's jump into this week. High totals this week. We've got Atlanta and Dallas. It's clearly the popular game here. It's Atlanta. Dallas is favored by 4.5, over under 52.5. Baltimore, Houston, mostly on, you know, due to Lamar Jackson, that over under is 51.5. Baltimore's favored by 7 there. And the Detroit at Green Bay is a pretty good number, 49.5. Green Bay fared by 6 there. Of those three games, is there one like that jumps off the page to you? Is like, I want parts of this game no matter what?
I think the difficulty is that they're all expensive. Like, I did my blind stacks this week, and it's like, oh, I'm going to have to pay for these guys. And there's one group where, like, maybe you can get away with it. It's not within that trio. So, like, I think you can make a case for all of them, which really isn't a helpful phrase. But I don't know. It's I think to differentiate, you may as well just skip all these games and hope that somebody else blows off.
Yeah, for me, it's Atlanta-Dallas. I think that is I think that's a step above these other two games. I just think the way they both play, I think the way that Atlanta, like, whether they're up or down, Atlanta just keeps pushing
just
me last
going.
Week. Yeah, in Seattle, like, they just, like, the fourth quarter, they just kept throwing to Gage and Ridley and Julio, and, you know, they were done in that game against Seattle, but they just kept coming. They just don't shut it down at all, and obviously for fantasy purposes, that's fantastic. And Dallas looked really good in the first half against the Rams, then, you know, kind of really rough in the second half, but I do think that's the game that, you know, if we get a 60-65 pointer, that's gonna be the game. And I want to point out, I said the same thing about Carolina Oakland last week, and for once I was actually right.
There you go. Yeah,
I think I said 35-30, it turned out to be 34-30, which is
way off.
I'm gonna call that a win.
Oh, really? Oh, all right.
We have a bunch of low total games this week. Ooh, we didn't have a lot last week.
Ugly.
There's five games. The over under currently is 42.5 or below. Real quickly, Denver at Pittsburgh, the 49ers at your Jets. That's a good matchup for us, huh?
Yeah.
Buffalo at Miami, the Giants at Chicago, and Jacksonville, Tennessee. It's kind of a mixing of, like, some good defenses, some bad offenses in there. It's going to be really interesting to have five games out of 13 that are that low of a total. Like, you can't – if then there's five of them, it's hard to just scratch them off. Like, you can't if there's one or two. We're like, yeah, I'm just not going to touch that game. Five games, you can't really completely shy away from.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean – Even the middle games.
Some of them I will, but yeah.
Right. Right. Certainly. It's funny that you say, like, some of them I'll take away, and then all of a sudden you realize you've actually taken all five away, and you're just like, oh, whatever.
Yeah. There are some players in those games I do like, mostly the home favorites in Pittsburgh and Tennessee.
Right.
But let's jump in. Let's talk running backs. We got our favorite guy, Christian McCaffrey, at the top as usual, 10,000 on DraftKings, 10,500 on FanDuel. The thing with McCaffrey, we don't have to talk too much about him, obviously, but it's just the snaps played. Like, we were wondering, you know, with the new coaching staff in there, with Rule instead of Ron Rivera, how much that would change. C-Mac played 97% of his stats. I think we're back to status quo.
I mean, there's no concern that it's down from 99.
I'm going to go ahead and be okay with that.
I'm not worried about that trend.
Yeah, I mean, just to give you a point of reference, like, no other running back played more than 90% of his snaps. Yeah. So 97% for a running back is significantly more than anybody else plays.
Yeah, totally agree. I think you're still at this point, though, where we have enough guys that are cheaper that losing that even 1,600 to Saquon Barkley, who I wouldn't play this week. So, like, if you look at Dalvin Cook, who's the third most expensive on DraftKings – I'm sorry, Zeke is there. I skipped over Zeke, but so the 1800 to Zeke, that can go a long way, on this slate. And so I'm not sure McCaffrey is, a slam dunk like he was last season still.
And this is the one team where he did not, he does struggle against. They play the run really well. You know, he's still going to be there and catch passes, and he's always a weapon, but, there were only two games last year where McCaffrey had under 98 total yards, and both of them were against Tampa Bay.
Yeah. No concern. He only had four targets last week.
Not really.
No, I mean, obviously just stretching here.
Right. No,
23 carries is we'll make up for it.
It's something to look at, but I mean, like, they get inside the 20 and it's just like literally his time. Like, they just don't do anything else but go to him.
Yeah.
I just don't like him at the price this week just because of the matchup. This is the Tampa Bay game, you know, based on last year, based on the way Tampa Bay plays the run. Just not a week that I'm willing to pay up for it. He still could do really well. I'm sure he probably will do really well, but if I'm going to pay up for a week, I'm going to go ahead and avoid this matchup.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think, like, I don't see any reason to play Saquon Barkley either.
You didn't like the 15 rushes for 6 yards on Monday night?
I mean,
he literally was, they handed off the ball and he would get hit every single time.
Yeah. I mean,
he had the one, like, really nice catch that he looked like Saquon, but, yes. Like, I mean, if you're getting hit 2 yards deep in the backfield, it's hard to pay up for that as talented as the guy is.
Do you think the Giants are wasting Barkley more or less than the Jets are wasting Darnold?
That's an impossible question. I thought you were going to say Angels are wasting Mike Trout, and I was going to pick that. But
yeah. But I just think, like, Barkley, I don't see how you can see the other names on the running back list on this slate at least in cash games, which again is like where I focus, and say like, no, I'm going to pay up for Saquon Barkley against the Bears, no less.
I can't see it either. I mean, the guy can break one at any time, but there is no way.
Can he?
There's no. Yeah.
When was the last time you did?
I mean, you get a swing pass or something like that. It's been a while, but I mean, the talent's still there. I hate the offense. I hate the offensive line. There's just no way that I pay more, you know, significantly more for him on both sides than Zeke, Derrick Henry, or Dalvin Cook.
Yep.
I'm not paying. If he was like 7,300, I'm like, oh, maybe I could find a way to talk myself into it. But at 8,400, at three guys below him that I like more, it's an easy skip for me, and I'm just kind of moving on from him right now.
Yeah, I don't understand the price.
It's just strictly name value.
But I guess I think that's literally the only way you can justify it.
You're right. I have no. I don't think he should be up there, and I don't think he. I'm surprised he didn't drop more than he did, but I guess it was Monday night. And maybe if it was he played that game Sunday, they would have dropped him more because they haven't. Obviously have the pricing out before that game starts, so maybe that was it. I don't know.
Yeah, Saquon's going to be that guy where when he finally has his big game and everybody, whoever plays him all the time, hopefully they don't run out of money before he finally pays off. But they're going to be like, "I told you so," and it's like, no. You don't get to lose 9 weeks in a row and then say, "I told you so," but.
It'll happen anyway, though.
But you mentioned the guys. I think Zeke and Derrick Henry are like way above Barkley for me. You put Cook in this group, huh?
I do.
And not Edwards-Hilaire?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was a couple hundred bucks down. I was just kind of looking at the next three in line. Yeah, I have no problem with CEH either. So let's put those four together. We got CEH, Cook, Henry, and Zeke. Do you have a strong favorite from that group?
I put Zeke in right away, just like running backs against Atlanta, although they did a decent job against Chris Carson last week. He caught a bunch of passes that obviously helped, including two touchdowns. But Zeke and Derrick Henry were the ones I went to right away. I think part of that is the CEH game was like way different than anybody was expecting. Like everyone was like, well, he's a really good pass catcher and he's not going to have the rushing volume. And of course he rushes 25 times and gets two targets.
Yeah, zero catches. It was very strange.
And so it's like, I'm not to say like they're not going to use him, but it's just, I'm just not sure yet. And then...
can I ask you a CEH question real quick first?
Yeah.
So does this six carries inside the 5-yard line and doing absolutely nothing with them concern you at all? Or you just kind of toss that out as that was fluky and weird and the offensive line didn't block? Or do you think that there is a chance that maybe someone watches that film and they go to Jarrell Williams inside the 5?
I didn't put much stock into it, okay. Although...
No, that's fair. It was just a question. I was wondering if 1 week and six carries makes anyone adjust at all.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. I mean, realistically,
I don't think it does either.
We would be happy to trade five of those rushing attempts or all six of those rushing attempts for like four or five targets. And so hopefully...
And the game was weird too. Like they were up and you look at Mahomes as like YPA is like was way different than anything normal. So I think that game was a little bit weird. Opening night, I think they were just trying to get out of there too. I think it's just he was the guy. I mean, 25 carries is pretty promising.
Right. And who knows what happens if DeMarcus Robinson actually catches the balls that are thrown at him in the end zone.
You had to go back there.
Yeah, I did. You are always the one who is much more optimistic. And it's not so much that I don't like him, but like you are definitely the Dalvin Cook guy on this podcast. And so is it that you think he's really good? Is it that you don't think they like Cousins enough to keep using? Like what puts Cook against the Colts in the same group as Henry against the Jaguars and Elliott against the Falcons?
Well, first of all, I'd play Henry for sure over Cook. So
okay.
I do like Henry more, but I think Dalvin Cook is really good. And I think they don't trust Kirk Cousins. I think they want to run the ball. I think last week he just got game scripted out. I mean, Green Bay got up in that game. He only had 12 carries and 50 yards and a couple targets. Did score twice. I think I liked it in the red zone. It's always him. Colts played pretty well against the run last week. I mean, Jaguars running back situation is nothing that I would really use as a barometer at all. I mean, James Robinson and whoever else they had going on there. But I just think Cook's really, really talented. I think he's one of those guys that can break one at a time. I think he's super impressive. Once he get past that, that first line, you know, he can just break past the linebackers and safeties. I just like him for an explosive big play guy. He's probably more of a GPP guy than a cash guy, which is probably why I like him a little more than you do.
Okay. That's fair.
But I love Henry this week. He's probably my favorite running back at the price. I mean, you just look at usage. I mean, he had 31 carries week one, led all running backs. You know, Jags played pretty well against the run last week, but you know, it's Nyheim Hines and Jonathan Taylor in his first game, and those guys caught passes well. So those guys, not like those guys were zeros. Good game script. They're a 10-point favorite against Jacksonville. They never go away from just feeding Henry, no matter what the score is. I love him this week. I think he's like the safest floor guy you can find this week.
Yeah, no, I'm all over that as well. I just don't like if you find that, like, the game script that really hurts him is that they're losing.
And yes,
they're the biggest favorite of the entire week.
Yeah,
so
it's just like a perfect Derrick Henry, at least from a Vegas game script kind of week. It's a right. Perfect Derrick Henry.
Exactly,
week.
Exactly.
Let's jump down a little bit. I want to talk about at 6,500 DraftKings. Austin Eckler was an interesting play last week. He played 50 snaps, which is the most he's ever played. He had 19 carries, the most he's ever had, but he only had one target. Mm-hmm. Do you think that one target is fluky, or do you think it's an actual real, like, Phillip Rivers versus Tyrod Taylor, different kind of quarterback game, and it actually matters? I mean, I know it's only 1 week. We don't want to overreact, but where are you in kind of that, you know, is it fluky or does it matter?
So I kept going back and forth between Eckler and Joe Mixon for my cash lineup. They happened to be in the same game. So when it ended with that missed field goal, it was like, oh, I don't have to worry about losing Eckler, you know, losing to Eckler coming back with the, because Mixon was not doing much. But it was weird to see, like, the reason I didn't play Eckler is actually because I was worried about the rushing volume, which sounds weird mm-hmm. because, like, it's the carries that it's the receptions that end up putting these guys, like, kind of on another level. But looking at all these projections, and it was like Eckler had a realistic rushing projection of like 11 or 12 carries.
Yep.
And sure, you could get 8 or 9 targets, but like that just wasn't enough for me in terms of the carries. And that's like a lot of targets. They're not always like high yardage ones if he doesn't break it. And so I was like, I'll just go to Mixon, who I know will get 30 carries or whatever. He may not get that many targets, but then when I saw like Eckler, they just didn't throw to him, like one pass. And I don't think like the overreaction would obviously be like, I'm done with him because like, I don't need a guy who they're only going to use to run in a game that they're supposed to lose against like right. the best offense in the NFL.
Yeah, so, if this were a regular like Austin Eckler and it was last year, I'd love this matchup because you right. know they're going to be down in the second half and dump it off to him 9 times, and he can break. And not only you get points for that in PPR, but he can break any of those too. He's that kind of guy. I'm just I don't know. I don't know if I'm overreacting to week one because I still really like Austin Eckler, but I don't know if I'm overreacting to the way that they play right now with Tyrod Taylor. I mean, it's still the same head coach, so you got to figure they can get him involved. Or if they it's just kind of a weird fluky game where you just didn't get targets and all of a sudden they're going to focus on that. I'm kind of torn in between those because I'd really like him as a play this week if I felt that he would be used out of the backfield catching the ball.
Yes. Yeah. That's exactly how I felt, and I'm just not – I don't know. For cash games is just too much of a question mark for me.
Yeah. And I mean, Joshua Kelly got 3 of the 4 carries inside the 10. Yeah. So while Eckler got the ball a lot, he didn't get the ball inside the red zone. So, you know, I'm fine. Like you said before on, and whoever it was before CEH, if you're going to take away the red zone carries and give me the catches, I'm good with that. But if you're gonna take away both, I'm a little concerned.
Yeah. Where do you put Aaron Jones? Are we going to forget about him?
He's 7,100. No, I'm not going to forget about him. You know, Zeke scored twice. They're playing Lions, they did Jones 20 touches last week. I don't know. He kind of got forgotten because Aaron Rodgers went crazy. I mean, right. they hit all the yards. But yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones
is kind of a reason we don't play Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's still the guy. He had 20 touches last week. I think it's 7,100. I think he's going to slide through because everybody's either going to play the guys above him, whether it be Cook or Henry or CEH, or drop down to, you know, Eckler. And we'll talk about Jonathan Taylor in a second. I think Jones goes pretty under-owned this week in a game that they are favored and should win.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think, I don't know, if I'm going to take a shot in GPP, I feel like I'd rather try it with Aaron Jones than Dalvin Cook, just because I feel like people will play Cook, although maybe it's just because you're making me think that.
I don't think a ton of people play Cook either. I think what you said about Cook is interesting because I think that everybody will go to Henry and Zeke. So I think right. he slides through again because he's not cheap enough for people to be like, oh, I'm going to play that price on Cook. but expensive enough where he's right next to those guys. So I don't think he's going to be high percentage either. I think he and Jones will kind of be the ones in this range that slide through, and you throw CEH in that mix too with the Henry and Zeke. They're going to play a lot.
All right, so we'll make a Cook-Jones lineup.
I like it. All right. I like it. That's a spicy one. I do like that.
With a bunch
of
your cheap wide receivers, I'm very anxious to hear about.
They're coming. They're underpriced. They're mispriced, I think.
Perfect. Those are my favorite players.
How popular do you think Jonathan Taylor is this week?
Oh.
5,700 on DraftKings.
So, like, he should be really popular. It was funny, like, when salaries came out, they come out, like, Sunday night. There was talk in our subscriber Discord. They were like, oh, like Hines is only 5,300. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, who cares? Why do we care what Hines costs? And it's like, there's your overreacting to week one. But I think Hines did have a good enough game where Taylor is not like an easy play at 5,700 to me.
Yeah.
Like, you definitely want to play him like over Kenyon Drake at 5,900 against the Redskins or. Ah,
darn. You did it. We each did it once.
Yeah. Against the football team, Miles Sanders is 6,000.
So you kind of spoiled my next step here, but I have Kenyon Drake highlighted above Jonathan Taylor at the same price. I like Jonathan Taylor, and I think the Marlon Mack out for the year thing, you know, everybody knows about that. It was big news and kind of one of the bigger injuries from week one. So that's obviously a bump up. The thing with Taylor is interesting is he had 6 catches for 67 yards too. And we talked about Eckler, and I wanted to go from Eckler to Taylor for a reason. Phillip Rivers just loves dumping to the running back. Yeah. We talked about how many targets Eckler got last week. Jonathan Taylor had 6 targets last week, and what Hines had 4 or 5, I think, too. Hines had 8.
8, yeah.
So that's 14 targets for these two guys. And I think, you know, you can't overreact to week one. I'm going to say that 9 million times. But Phillip Rivers to Tyrod Taylor with Eckler, and then anybody to Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis, I mean, he clearly loves throwing to the running backs.
Yeah. I'm in. Like, it just seems like this is going to be a situation every week where you think you know it, and then it's like, oh, it's actually not. You know, it's like it's just not that easy to figure out which one it is. And I feel like Hines, like we came in like, oh, he could be the pass catcher. And it's like, oh, well, they actually both catch a bunch of passes. Like he caught 8 of them. Like he led the team.
8 for 45. He also had 7 carries, and I think Taylor had 9 carries. I think as we go along, Taylor's clearly going to be the guy that gets more carries. I mean, he's an uber talented guy and super explosive. I think for this week, I think it's still split a little bit. And I think that Kenyon Drake at 5,900 is insanely underpriced.
Yeah. He like jumped it. Like when not that I expected him to be in that like Edwards-Hilaire, Aaron Jones group, but it just felt like I was scrolling way too far to find him because it was just like, oh, Arizona against Washington. Like I kind of like that. Although, we'll get to other guys from this game in a little bit, but does like the defensive line for the football team worry you in terms of Drake, or is it more a negative for Murray?
It worries me. Actually, neither. It worries me for a quarterback who stands back there and gets hit like Carson Wentz. So if you look at a perfect comparison is the Niners against Kyler Murray. I mean, the Niners can literally kill any quarterback who stands there and just throws the ball. Like, you know, like they did with Aaron Rodgers and Kirk Cousins in the playoff last year, but you get against Mahomes or Murray and you can see that like extra hesitation. Like Bosa's always there, but the other guys, like you're just scared to go. You're sure to go too hard upfield because he just runs right by you. And Murray did it like 10 times. And Murray has this thing where he just like slides randomly, like even before you think he's going to. So they got like 3 personal fouls from that. Mm-hmm. He's really tricky. Like he actually uses the slide as an advantage to get calls. It's frustrating to watch him, but he's so good and he's just impossible to tackle. But with Drake, I mean, I know season long is very different than DFS, but Kenyon Drake is a guy that was drafted before Aaron Jones a week ago. Like we're not talking 6 weeks into the season. We're talking a week ago, Kenyon Drake was a top 15 pick. And I granted, you know, Chase Edmonds was using the red zone against the Niners. I get that. But Drake still had 2/3 of the touches. Drake still scored. This is a really nice game script. He's just, I think he's priced way too low. I think 5,900 for a guy a week ago who we thought was the top 10 to 15 running back. I think the price is way too low for Drake. And I'm using him all over the place.
Yeah. The difference in usage between Drake and Edmonds is much bigger than it is between Taylor and Hines. And like, that's what separates it for me.
Yeah. So. And I think that, you know, Edmonds was using the red zone and people freak out about that, but Drake was still the guy that was getting the ball 2/3 of the time.
Yep. What about your boy Mostert?
Yeah, the Niners offense is hard to figure right now just because so many people are banged up.
They're playing like the best team to play in football.
Yeah, they are doing that. And he broke the long catch for the touchdown. They are getting involved. He had 19 touches week one, which I really like.
Yeah.
Jerick McKinnon was heavily involved. Tevin Coleman didn't play much because of the air quality. He has some sort of condition. I think it's sickle cell.
Sickle cell, yeah.
Where the air quality was really concerning for him. So he only played like, I think he only had like 4 or 5 touches. I love Mostert. I mean, he's always a guy that can break one every week. And the Niners should run the ball down the Jets' throat most of the game if they can kind of get the offensive line going. I don't think I could play him over Eckler if I had push come to shove against the Chiefs in that matchup, but it's a close one.
Yeah, yep. I just felt like we needed to talk about it because the Jets are so bad.
The Jets are not good. You're going to say that now, and then they're going to beat the Niners. I'm going to have to hear about it next week. It's going to be painful.
There's no way you're going to have to worry about that. But
Niners are so banged up. I don't think so either, and I think that a stand back, their quarterback's going to be great for them to kind of get healthy against. But, you know, no Sherman, no Debo. Kittle might not play. It's just there's a lot of stuff going on.
Stop.
The injury bug is bad.
Stop. Although if it's a Ross Dwelly week, I'll be pretty excited.
It's not going to be a Ross Dwelly week. It's going to be a person we're going to talk about for 2600 later that might be a week.
Oh, I love it.
Talk to me about Ronald Jones. 5200 down here on DraftKings, a little bit cheaper than the Taylor Kenyon Drake market. Carolina is horrendous against the run. They've allowed multiple rushing TDs in 6 straight games, which seems almost such a fake stat that I had to go look it up. he was super involved, though. Like, everybody was like, oh, Leonard Fournette and Keyshawn Vaughn and all these guys. He had 3/4 of the Tampa Bay running back touches. I don't know if they are just trying to get Fournette worked in, but he wasn't involved at all. He had 3 targets also. There's obviously some risk here, but it's a nice game script against a bad team. Josh Jacobs had 3 touchdowns and 90-plus yard rushing against these guys last week. I don't know how much they're going to use Fournette. I don't know if it was a working him in thing that they just weren't ready yet, but I think Ronald Jones is going to be popular, and I can't figure out if I want to jump on that chalk or not.
No, you don't.
No,
come
all right.
On. Really?
I do think he'll be popular, 5,200. Yes, most sites that I've seen ranking him in the top 10 to 12.
Yeah. I'm looking at the UF Collective ones, and they definitely like him as well.
Yep.
No. No. No.
No, really?
I really don't have anything. The reason I don't really buy in is I feel like you would rather play him. I mean, he obviously has like an ideal matchup, but like the other guys you can play in this group, like Mark Ingram, Melvin Gordon, if Philip Lindsay doesn't play, you've got Devin Singletary against the Dolphins. And then the one that we obviously have to talk about because.
Yep. It's coming.
Yeah. Is 4,500 for Benny Snell.
Yep.
Expected to play with James Conner, unlikely to play. Snell is not without risk though. Because Jalen Samuels like got a decent amount of work after Connor left. And so I think that situation, like, I don't think this situation is as great as everybody thinks it is, but just like last week, like at 4,500, it's probably just worth the risk.
Yeah. I mean, and Snell looked good. He looked slimmed down. He looked quick. He had 19 carries for 113 yards in their game against the Giants. Not involved in the pass game. I think that is going to be Jalen Samuels. But, you know, nice game script. 6.5-point home favorites against in their game. Who's Pittsburgh playing? Denver against Denver. Yeah. More than anything, the price wasn't adjusted. They played Monday night. Connor got hurt. The pricing was already out. So he would have been probably, you know, with the Singletary pricing at, you know, the mid-fives maybe after that game plus the injury. I'm super tempted to move up $700 to Singletary, but it's hard to not go $4,500 if Connor isn't playing. You have the starting running back for the Steelers.
Yeah, no, I think he's an easier play than Ronald Jones. I'll put it that way.
All right. Okay, I'm
not
like
playing Frank Gore.
I kind of like Singletary over Jones if you're looking to maybe get a little bit different in a GPP. Nice game script for Singletary. They're 5 to 6 point favorites against Miami. He had 7 targets last week, mm-hmm. and he's a guy that's explosive. If he gets the ball out in space, he's going to make some big plays. 9 carries. If you're going to get me 14 to 16 touches for Singletary, I think I'm willing to risk that over Jones with the thought that Singletary is more likely to break one.
Yep, totally agree.
Cool. Anybody else running back you want to mention? David Montgomery, James Robinson, anybody else that you got? I have one guy I want to ask you about at the end, but anybody else that any of the cheap guys that you like?
No, I mean, after Snell, like below Snell, I think everybody else, and I say this as a way of tossing people aside, everybody else is for GPPs, and I'm not really looking at them.
And I don't even think they're really playable in GPP. Yeah, right. Nobody there that I'm really excited about. Like, oh, this is going to be spicy and interesting. There's just nobody there. Right. The last guy I want to ask you about going up in price a little bit is David Johnson.
Yeah.
Not the best game script. They're playing Baltimore. I mean, you know, and they're probably going to be behind. Baltimore's defense is good. He looked really good week one, 109 total yards and a touchdown run. He ran 32 pass routes, which is really good for Johnson. He's a good guy that's talented catching the ball. Any interest in him at 5,800 on DraftKings where you get full PPR? Duke Johnson's probably not going to play, should catch a lot of passes, catching up against Baltimore. Do you see a path there at all?
No.
I kind of do, but I just couldn't do it over Drake or Taylor. So I don't think I'm going to get there just because of the guys that are in this range.
Yeah. I just feel like you could have made that argument last week with like Kareem Hunt, or I guess they split a little more than you want, but like the Ravens, just because their opponents are playing from behind, like they can just shut teams down though. So there could be just a lot of three and outs or four and overs so that, as they're coming back.
Four and overs, I like that.
Yeah, whatever. So, I mean, you'll certainly get him. He won't be popular, so you'll be able to have your 2% David Johnson, but I'm just not sure you're getting anything out of him. I don't see him getting a score helpful enough in a GPP that the 2% pays off. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get extra points just because he's low owned. And so like, what are the chances that David Johnson actually has like a 30 point game against the Ravens?
I agree there. I just wanted to bring him up just because he played so well last week, but I just think there's other guys that I would much prefer to take.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's jump into the passing game. First, a note from our sponsor, Owner's Box. Do you love the strategy of season long fantasy sports? Live for the quick hit of DFS. Then be the first to try weekly fantasy sports WFS from Owner's Box. Owner's Box is kicking off the 2020 NFL season in a big way by giving everyone 25 Owner's Bucks to try the game for free. In addition, Owner's Box will be matching first user deposits up to $50. Weekly Fantasy Sports keeps players engaged through live drafting, social interaction, and a new layer of strategy that puts the power back in your hands. Compete with your opponent over 7 days of fierce competition and get paid out weekly. New public and private contests start every day. The Owner's Box game provides users with a fun and engaging rule set that revolves around a set number of game opportunities by roster position. Your players earn your points throughout the week, but only if you have enough games available at that position. Owner's Box allows users to engage socially in multiple different ways with the community, add friends, create groups, and rank up to elevate the trash talk and competition to the next level. Sign up today to try weekly fantasy sports for free, but that's not it. Each weekly fantasy sports contest you participate in will give you one free entry into the signed Drew Brees jersey giveaway. In honor of the NFL season, Owner's Box will also be matching your first time deposit up to $50. Head on over to www.ownersbox.com/rotowire to claim your rewards and join the new wave of fantasy sports. So, Andrew, top of the quarterbacks, we got two guys this week. We had no Patrick Mahomes on the slate last week, so you know, Lamar Jackson was way, way above everybody else. We have Lamar and Mahomes, 8,200 for Lamar, 7,700 for Mahomes. If you're going to play one of these top two guys, is there one you strongly lean towards?
I think Mahomes.
Interesting. Jackson for me.
Jackson's obviously the safer one just because of the rushing floor, but I don't know. How do you go wrong with these guys? There are enough tweets that happen over on Sundays that it's like always Mahomes or always Lamar. So like, I think they're good every time.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to really argue against either one. I just think Lamar at 8,200, you know, he only ran for 7 for 45 last week, but you know, 3 touchdowns, 11 YPA in week one. Any concern at all with the way the Chiefs played week one? Or are you just kind of crossing that? I mean, only they didn't throw a lot of deep balls. YPA was only 6.6. I'm not concerned at all, but I've seen some stuff like maybe they're switching up the offense, but I'm not buying that.
I mean, he still threw 3 touchdowns, Mahomes. Yeah. So they had 211 yards is obviously.
Should have had 5 if DeMarcus Robinson. Sorry, I did myself that time, so it's allowed.
Any
thought the fact that the Chargers, Mahomes averaging 256 yards against them in the last 4 games, under 200 yards last year in both games against the Chargers?
No. I mean, it's such a small sample anyway, and they've had extra time to prepare.
Trying hard, but it's Mahomes. I think he kind of tossed that stuff out the window.
Yeah. Andy Reid's had 10 days to get ready for this game.
You think he'll go with the face shield again?
Looked like a windshield wiper. Or he needed a windshield wiper.
It was a little I'm all for everybody being safe, but that felt a bit much.
Well, it's funny because I keep seeing stuff that if you wear a face shield, you should wear a mask also. Like it's not a This is actually worse than not wearing a mask, but I can't go down that route. I think they're both really strong, and as long as these cheap wide receiver plays that you're going to give us pay off, then they should be easy to get.
So what about before or below them? Is there, we've got Dak at 6,800. We got last week's hero, Aaron Rodgers at 6,900. Josh Allen was really good last week too at 6,700. Matt Ryan, 6,600. Any of those four in that grouping that you think you want to drop down from Lamar and Mahomes and kind of stack that way?
No. I actually see a number of cheaper guys that I think are like well worth targeting. That middle group, like basically from Rodgers all the way down to, I'll even put Deshaun Watson in that group. Like, I think all those guys are fine and you can make like really good stacks. I mean, I probably wouldn't do Watson just because I don't like playing against Baltimore, but I think they're all fine, but I think you could probably get just as much production from guys who are slightly cheaper. That, like, if you're looking at Rodgers, I'd probably just be like, I'll find the 800 for Mahomes, whereas the cheaper guys I really like.
Yeah, I think I agree with you there. If I'm gonna do anything in here, it's gonna be Dak or Ryan in an Atlanta Dallas game stack with the receivers maybe coming back and forth and hoping for that 38-31 kind of game. But if I'm just kind of building my favorite lineup, I was with you. I didn't bold or highlight any of the guys in that range either.
Yeah, I think they're all fine. I mean, you can make really good like high upside lineups with like Prescott and Amari Cooper and Julio Jones coming back. That's obviously going to be pretty expensive, but like those guys have a lot of upside. I'm just not sure for cash games, like it's, you need to spend that much money unless Josh you're getting Allen, Mahomes or Lamar.
Josh Allen, for some reason against the Jets last week, threw 46 times. What the heck was going on there? With a lead most of the game too.
Yeah, they were saying, I saw today that it was a career high in passing attempts, passing yards, and completions. And he also ran for 57 yards and another touchdown. So like
in a game where they were ahead though, like I would have thought like a game they're down 21-3 at halftime, he throws 46 times. But I looked at that stat and I'm like, I can't believe he threw the ball that often. It was crazy.
Yeah, only 312 yards. I mean, not that like 312 is nothing, but 46 times. Like if Mahomes throws 46 times, he's throwing for like 500 yards. So like,
right, that's true.
I don't know. What's weird is that he threw that often and like there were no Bills receivers that like you needed to have.
They spread it around pretty good. Right. But let's jump down. I think the first one that jumped out to me is Kyler Murray.
Yes.
600. Another good pass rush. They're facing the Washington football team. See, I didn't mess it up. Mm-hmm. You did.
You're the pro.
Ran the ball really well last week. I obviously watched all that game against the 49ers. And I mean, they had Bosa was in his face, Eric Armstead was in his face, and they just couldn't quite get to him. He just kind of sneaks through and boom, he's gone. Had 90 plus yards rushing. They're an interesting offense right now. They're just a ton of quick passes, a lot of like out of the pistol, and he just gets it out of the ball, gets the ball at hand quick. DeAndre Hopkins obviously went crazy. We'll talk about him in a second. Wentz had a really good first half against Washington and then missed some plays in the second half. I thought Wentz was going to have a huge game at halftime and just kind of they just kept getting to him and the Philly offensive line just fell apart. If we're at 6,100 on DraftKings, if I'm down here, I'm pretty interested in playing Kyler.
He like just lit up when I like it seems like a great play. So Kyler is the reason I'm hesitant on Kenyon Drake, and not that like both can't have good games, but like generally that doesn't happen. And so like,
yeah, I'm not playing them together. I will have them in both in lineups, but not together. I just think that if the game script works out one way or the other, you're probably not going to get both of them doing well.
Right.
Or at least well enough that you want in a tournament for sure.
Right. So like, but even in cash games, like I'm just not sure you want to put that much into it. I mean, are they up to 7 points? I don't think they are. I think they're six. And the last I checked, they were six and a half point favorites, which like makes you think maybe you want Drake because they run, they end up running a lead out. Not that Murray can't run it out himself, but yeah, that price, like it just was so much better. Like when I, unfortunately, like we also really like Derrick Henry, but like Tannehill against Jacksonville, I think is a perfectly good play at 5,900. I'm not going to try to play Phillip Rivers again. That was a one-time deal and I'm happy to leave
he
that.
He threw for like 360 yards somehow.
But did he even throw a single touchdown?
I think he had one.
One touchdown.
He's bad, by the way. Just a spoiler alert.
Oh, man.
He looked horrible in that game.
He did look really bad.
Yeah.
The other guy that I think is worth if you make like a few lineups,
I want to hear the cheap guy.
If you make more than three lineups and you're willing to take a little risk, I think you should have a Mitch Trubisky lineup.
I had two guys down here under six, and he's one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking for a punt play in a really good matchup against the Giants, and you know they have good receivers, he's not good. He had a play in the end zone last week that he missed his receiver by like 10 yards. I don't know who he was throwing to.
It looked like he was throwing a ball into the stands for a fan, except there were no fans there.
It felt like that. You're like, oh, he was throwing it away. And then you look and there was nobody around Anthony Miller. I think it was Anthony Miller. You're like, okay, he wasn't throwing it away because he's wide open. I think he was just that far off.
It was really bad.
But I mean, they played the fourth quarter. They came back and they won that game thanks to DeAndre Swift's drop touchdown. But
5,500 rushing yards too.
Yeah, 5,500 is really cheap in a game where, you know, I think the Giants will score enough to make it so that the Bears got to score too. And I don't know, 5,500 is really appealing. If you wanted to, like you said, build a GPP lineup where maybe you go him and a cheap receiver and you could really stack up the running backs, it could be a really interesting lineup.
Yeah. I mean, generally, this is like a running back line of thinking, but I think the quarterback works. I mean, you have a 5.5-point favorite, at least the last I checked. I don't think I updated these today, so I apologize if it moved. But basically, 5.5-point favorite against arguably the worst defense in the NFL and the Giants. That seems like something that you would at least consider.
Legit terrible defense. Yeah. So I like it. Do you like Tannehill at all at 5,900, or do you just think that they just run the ball the whole second half?
No, I think Tannehill, I think he's fine. Like, obviously, we really like Derrick Henry, so I don't think you can play. You're not going to play both of them. But is that the
Rivers?
That
Rivers had 363 yards on them in Week One, and they're favored by 10. And he's got good weapons. Corey Davis looked good on Monday night. Under 6,000, I think I prefer Trubisky as kind of a punt play down here, but I think Tannehill is playable too.
What about your boy Jimmy G though?
I just wish they had receivers. I mean, I would need to know what the Kittle deal was. You know, obviously he's questionable right now after the sprained knee that he got from Buda Baker right at the end of the first half. No Debo. Brandon Ayuk is probably going to play, but I just don't think the weapons are there right now for me to want to play him in DFS. I think they're going to try and run the ball down the Jets' throat as much as they can. I just think I think the Jets would have to score more than I think they can for Jimmy G really to go off enough in a DFS setting.
I mean, I made this argument for Trubisky, 5.5-point favorite against the worst defense in football. What if you had a 7-point favorite against the second worst defense in football?
Yeah, my problem is that the second one has an elite offensive line with a great running game and a willingness to take the ball out of the quarterback's hand if it works. You know, they're not – if they're getting 6 yards of carry, they just won't throw it just to throw it. Kyle Shanahan will just stuff it down their throat if they want, if they need to. Yeah.
That makes sense. All right.
So let's jump into the pass catchers, but first a note from our other sponsor, Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is a fantasy sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. Ever heard someone say, I've had stock in this player since day one? Well, now Prediction Strike makes that a real possibility. You had stock in Patrick Mahomes' rookie year. You knew this would happen. Now it's a reality. Create a portfolio of all your favorite athletes. Get closer to the game than ever before. To get started, simply visit PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players, just like you would real stocks. Each game is like an earnings report. If the player beats his projections, his stock moves up. It's that easy. You can trade your shares of players at any time, as long as the player isn't currently in a game. Get started today by visiting PredictionStrike.com and sign up with the code ROTOWIRE to get an additional $10 with your $10 off with your first deposit of $20 or more. So, Andrew, wide receivers, there's no Michael Thomas. He is nursing a high ankle sprain out for probably a couple of weeks. Devontae Adams is now the bell of the ball at receiver, the one guy over 8,000. A monster week last week against the Vikings. 14 catches, 156 yards, 2 touchdowns on 17 targets. Detroit secondary is already banged up. The Bears lit them up late in this game once they kind of had their injuries and they were bringing in backups, and they're still pretty banged up. Their rookie that they drafted, Adoku, is probably not going to play again. Are you going back to Devontae Adams at 8,100 this week?
I usually only play one high-priced wide receiver if I even play one. And I don't think it's Devontae Adams this week.
All right. Well, I got three right below Adams in the mid sevens to high sevens. Which one of them is it for you?
Which one is it for me?
Which one is the one that you like more than Adams?
So it's DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay.
And the reason it's DeAndre Hopkins is fully because of last week. Like, I think I think I overlooked, and I think most people overlooked because not a ton of people played DeAndre Hopkins, but I think we kind of forgot how the Cardinals play. And the number of times last season where we were like, you should play Christian Kirk or take a shot at Andy Isabella, or, I mean, I played Larry Fitzgerald a couple times in cash, and it's like, all the Cardinals want to do is snap the ball and throw it and let their receivers do what they can do. And then they added one of the best wide receivers in the entire NFL. And yep. we didn't, and there was just like no thought of, oh wait, maybe this will help DeAndre Hopkins. And so I think I saw a thing that he had more screen pass catches last week than his entire career in Houston.
Yep.
And it's like, if they're going to throw the ball that often to DeAndre Hopkins, why wouldn't I play him?
Yeah, I mean, you get that whole offensive system, like you said, plus a guy who's pretty much been unguardable his entire career and has the most insane hands, I think, of any receiver in the league. Like, he makes catches. I obviously watched that game to play in the Niners. I mean, there were so many plays where the second Kyler's back foot hit on the turf to plant, he was throwing it to DeAndre Hopkins, and he already knew where he was going with the ball before it even happened. I mean, it was clearly the focus of everything he did. I mean, and I know that Richard Sherman is on the other side of the field for most of that game, and maybe they just shut down that half of the field and went to the Hopkins on the other side. But there were so many plays where before he got to the line, they knew exactly where the ball was going.
Yeah, and like the number of times where you just see, and this was like previously in Houston, where like, long passes and you're just like, oh, he's doubled, like this ball is landing on the ground somewhere, and all of a sudden it's in his hands.
Yeah. He tips it to himself and catches it one-handed. Yeah.
He's absolutely incredible. I mean, it obviously, like, everything you say about Hopkins can be said about Adams. Like, the targets are there, the catches are there, the receiving yards are there. Adams had the touchdowns last week. Hopkins didn't have two like Adams did, and so maybe that's the separator, but I don't know. I feel like there's going to be, like, every week this season, it's going to be like, all right, well, like, how much is DeAndre Hopkins? Not to say he's like this season's Michael Thomas, but I mean, it's not, the offense is built around getting the ball into the receiver's hands. And if he's in this elite group, like, why are you not playing him as much as you can?
And like you said, running as many plays on offense as physically possible during the game, which is significant. I mean, every play is another opportunity to catch a ball. I mean, that really matters, and they speed teams up, and they did it last week, and I don't see, after beating the 49ers, why they really want to change anything, you know?
Yeah, and like playing, like doing mini stacks in cash is usually not something a lot of people do. I mean, some will do like the running back defense one, but you don't always have a quarterback wide receiver combo, but like the Kyler DeAndre Hopkins one is so nice just because of the rushing floor from Kyler Murray that So I really liked Kyler and I loved DeAndre Hopkins. And so I'm like, I feel like left out with Kenyon Drake, but that seems like a lot of Arizona, even against Washington. But like,
I think that might be a touch too much Arizona, but I really can't argue against any of the players specifically. I don't think I'd go three at the same lineup, but talk to you about the guys right below DeAndre. We've got we have Julio at 7,400, another great game last week, 9 catches for 157 yards. And we have Tyreek Hill at the Chargers. He was only 5 for 46 last week. He did have a touchdown in the third quarter, they get the second half at some point. Do you like either of these guys? Say you're in a lineup where you do want to play Drake and you're going away from Hopkins, or you want to play some, you know, double expensive wide receivers. Either of these guys get you fired up?
I think I play Adams over either of them. Like, Hill is just one of those weird ones with me that I just don't ever really consider him a cash play, and yet people keep playing him in cash, and when I don't have him, it seems like he does pretty well. Although I say that, I pretty much never have him, but I don't know. It just seems like maybe it's because he has like a number of like big plays that he has scored on that makes me think like, oh, well, he's just like a GPP play. And then it's like, oh, he had 14 targets or whatever it was. Obviously, he didn't have that last week. But
right.
I don't know. I think Julio will be ahead of him for me, even though last week we saw another classic Julio game of almost double-digit catches for 157 yards and no touchdowns.
Yeah, I have this weird feeling that Tyreek's going to hit one, but it's just kind of a gut feeling that comes with Tyreek. Right. I like Julio a lot. I think he should see a lot of Trayvon Diggs. And if I'm going with an Atlanta-Dallas stack, I think this is a pretty good game script where Julio could get pretty loose.
Yep, totally agree. And he's like technically questionable, but like I don't think.
Yeah, I didn't buy that one as much as some of the other ones, but I think he's going to play.
Yep, agreed.
Let's see. So going a little bit cheaper, let's get under 7,000. There's a couple of guys in here I do like. We talked about cheaper guys. There's a guy like guys I like in the 4,000 range. I really like Allen Robinson this week. 6,400 on DraftKings. Had 9 targets last week. He had 5 end zone targets from Trubisky last week. Juju was had 2 touchdowns against the Giants last week. Kind of falls into what you mentioned with Trubisky, like playing an awful defense. I think Allen Robinson, frankly, is just mispriced at 6,400. I think he should be a top. I think he should be maybe 7,200, 7,300. I think he's a really nice play at 6,400 this week.
I think Robinson's price is always reflective of Trubisky. Like I think if Foles started, then he'd be 7,300. But like I'm as like a football player, like I think just Allen Robinson is awesome, and it like pains me to see him like waste time away with Trubisky. And so, like against the Giants, I think it's a perfectly great play. I think this salary range is a little dead for cash games, but yeah, you like if you are willing to take a risk on Trubisky, it seems silly not to include Robinson in some stack there.
Yeah, I really like Robinson. He's probably if I play a lineup where I go heavy running backs, maybe drop down at receiver, he might be my wide receiver one in some lineups. Calvin Ridley, obviously, if you're playing Atlanta Dallas stack, he was a beast last week. 9 for $130 and 2 touchdowns with 12 targets. I think this week, if I'm going to play Ridley, I'd bump it up to Julio and kind of play that the touchdown back and forth kind of thing. I think I'd go up to 600 to Julio if it were me.
Yeah, me too. I think Julio is always going to be more popular, though. Like, I don't think a lot of people are dropping down to Ridley. Like, it seems like you would drop down to Ridley if he was 5,800. But now that they're so close, I think most people play Jones, who I think is a better play anyway. But I guess you should get some advantage if fewer people are actually playing Ridley for that line of thinking.
In the weirdest post-game situation last week, Bruce Arians kind of ripping Tom Brady and taking Mike Evans' side in the interception there. Mike Evans was questionable. It was doubtful at this when we recorded, then went up to questionable and ended up playing 93% of the snaps. It's crazy. Like, it's the most insane thing ever. Like, I don't know how you go from doubtful to playing every single play. But only had 4 targets. He had 1 catch, but it was a touchdown, but a short catch. He had the play where, you know, Brady overthrew him and he kind of broke off his route that caused some controversy. But he had Marshawn Lattimore on him most of the game, who kind of owns him. He does really well against Evans for the last few years. If Godwin doesn't play at 6,400, Mike Evans has to be really high percentage, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
In a game where Carolina can't stop anybody, like, I don't know how you get away from Evans. We talked about Robinson at the same price. It's really hard to go away from Evans to Robinson if Godwin sits, though.
No, totally agree. I mean, Godwin was popular last week, and even when Evans was active, because everyone's like, well, he's active, but like he's banged up. So it's the if you go into every week, like, is it a Godwin week or an Evans week, and one is not playing, then at least you have your answer.
Well, we may have an answer a little bit lower down the wide receiver list also.
Ooh.
Any interest that we talked about Julio and Ridley, what do you do with the Dallas pass catchers? We got Amari Cooper at 6,300. We have Michael Gallup at 5,600. We have CeeDee Lamb at 4,700. If you're looking to kind of come back from some sort of Atlanta stack with some Dallas action and you weren't playing Zeke, do you have a preference among those three at the prices?
I originally looked at Gallup,
me too.
Because like CeeDee Lamb had like a very good game and
yeah, it was super involved.
Yeah, he was really involved, and it seems like there are now more targets available because Blake Jarwin's out for the season, or at least out for a while. I don't know if it's a full season, but
yeah, long enough. It's a long time.
It's a long time. So theoretically, that's more targets. That not that like CeeDee Lamb is a tight end who's going to get those targets, but they may play differently. That he's on the field more, and so, but Gallup, I don't know. I think I underestimated how big of a game Cooper had. So that when I was looking, I was like, oh, what did they do last week? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh man, Cooper, 14 targets. Like that's
I didn't, I watched that game too. And I don't remember him doing that much.
I felt the exact same way. I just felt like I never saw him. And all of a sudden I saw 14 targets and I was like, that's
Lockett and Metcalf killed the Atlanta secondary last week.
Yes. So I don't know. None of them feel like, for cash games, I actually went with Lamb just because he was so much cheaper. Like I was saying, like that Cooper, that salary range is just one I'm usually not in, just because I feel like paying up for guys like Hopkins and Adams makes, you know, there's just more consistency with those guys. But there are just so many here that you can, that are perfectly fine plays, and I think they're good for GPPs. But like I ended up going down, at least if I was going to go with a Dallas guy, with Lamb over both Cooper and Gallup, not because I don't think those guys couldn't go 10 for, you know, 100 again, but it's just that the salary is more helpful.
Yeah, I it's funny. I mentioned Robinson and Evans, and we just talked about Cooper. I love so many guys in this range, but I'm like, usually I want a couple, you know, one or two really expensive receivers, and then kind of drop down to guys with a lot of targets. But I tell you what, I love DJ Moore this week too. He's a 6,300 on DraftKings. I love the game script here. He had 9 targets last week. I like the fact he only had 4 for 54, so kind of a little bit under the radar. He had 2 end zone targets. I think he's immensely talented. We talked about DJ Moore a lot last year. 6,300 on DraftKings, I think, is underpriced too. I'm in trouble here because there's like 4 guys I love in this range.
Yeah, and you kept saying you like guys who are really cheap.
Which I know it's gonna be a tough week for me to figure out receivers. I'm gonna be playing 4 receivers in a lot of lineups this week.
Ooh, there we go. Yeah, I mean, I think DJ Moore is one of those guys that I feel like always, like every time he has a good game, and I'm like, why didn't I think of DJ Moore? And it's like, oh, because there were 3 guys around him that I like more. Like, not that I don't like DJ Moore. It's just like, there feels like there's always somebody next to him that I'm like, oh, I'll just play that guy. And like this week, it's like either Evans or Robinson, Cooper. So I don't know. I feel like you end up on him because of people like me who are like, no, I'm not going to play Moore because I like these other guys. So you're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's a ton of guys. I mean, Juju's in that range. He's questionable.
Yeah.
AJ Brown is, you know, quiet week. He's 6,100. I imagine there'd be some action there. Still had 8 targets, but a little shorter than usual. He's probably a boomer bust guy most weeks because he's, you know, he can break at any time. But, you know, the way their offense is built around Derrick Henry, it just kind of limits, maybe, you know, he's not going to get those 14 target games that we see with some of the other guys. Dropping under 6,000. I think I'm going to jump down in the 4,000s for most of my teams. But one guy I wanted to mention, T.Y. Hilton, off a really quiet game. 5,700 on DraftKings. Did have 9 targets in week 1, but only 4 catch, 53 yards. The Green Bay wide receivers just torched Minnesota last week, and that's who the Colts are playing this week. They have a lot of rookies back there. I mean, we talk about Adams, but, you know, MVS and Alan Lazard were doing well too. Rodgers picking them apart. I find it hard to get Hilton in the lineup this week because I go up a little bit to guys I love, and I go down a little bit to guys I love, but he's in that middle range where kind of underpriced, but I'm having trouble finding a way to get him in.
I think that's like the perfect description. And because I saw that price and I was like, that seems pretty good.
Yeah.
But like Paris Campbell led them in targets or he had the same number of targets last week as Hilton.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yes. so I don't know. This is another one that like I think he's a perfectly good play. And I think you can expand on this group. Like, I think Terry McLaurin is perfectly fine against Arizona.
DJ Chark's right in there at 6,000 also. We talked about Gallup at 5,600. There's a lot of guys in this range too.
Yeah, and if you go even slightly below, but right at 5,000 is Darius Slayton, whose price is obviously made before Monday night's game. Or did they play Monday, Sunday? Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, he had 102 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. It looked electric too.
Yes, yeah. So he actually is making me like not even think about Sterling Shepard, who normally at 5,500 I think is good. And then we have like Lazard in this group. So Andrew Boy, Anthony Miller. So there's some fun guys like
Miller scored late last week to make it worthwhile. It was I was worried there for a while. So let's jump down. There are 2 guys who I think are at 4,500 that should not be at 4,500. Plain and simple. I think they're mispriced. The first is Paris Campbell. You mentioned him going against this Minnesota defense that is, you know, the secondary's in shambles. Green Bay killed them. He had 9 targets last week, 6 for 71. He looked to me like just a super talented receiver in that game. I was watching that game because I had some T.Y. Hilton going. I was like, oh, T.Y., get the ball.
Yeah.
Paris Campbell looked better to me. Minnesota secondary's torched. I just think at 4,500, I don't get why he isn't like 5,300. I just think he's mispriced and a guy that I want in a lot of lineups this week.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think there's, I mean, we kind of mentioned him last week because I, for some reason, like this Indianapolis stack that
Hey, if I told you that they threw for 360 last week before, you would have been all in on that. You would have doubled down on that stack.
Nope, you're absolutely right.
Just didn't work out touchdown wise.
Campbell and Hilton both had 103 air yards, so it's not like it was completely nothing. So
Some of that is Philip Rivers throwing the ball up for grabs, but that's all right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, air yards are air yards. So.
Him and Winston, I'll take it. Just keep chucking it down there. Something's gonna work out.
Totally. I'm in on that. So, but yeah, I just think, Campbell definitely was one. He was so much cheaper last week too, wasn't he?
I think he was like
3,900 last week. Yeah, so I saw 45, and I was like, oh man, I should have let just not that he was great last week, but yeah, I like him. Who was the other guy in this range?
The other guy in this range is Diontae Johnson with the Steelers against Denver. And this is a guy that was really, had a lot of sleeper buzz to him coming into drafts this season. He had 10 targets week one.
Him in Showdown in that Monday night.
He was quiet because Juju scored twice, but he was 6 for 7. He looked every bit of their wide receiver too. He looked really good out there. You know, I'm watching the Monday night game, so I'm kind of watching that a little more closely maybe than when there's 8 Sunday games on, but 4,500 for a guy who had 10 targets playing with Roethlisberger. Juju's questionable. I think he's going to play. I think I actually kind of like him more if Juju does play, because I'd rather him just kind of not get all the attention.
Right.
I think Diontae Johnson at 4,500 is the best wide receiver play of the week, if not the best overall play of the week.
Wow.
I think he should be 5,500. And I think he would be if they did not play Monday night.
Wow. Okay.
We'll be in so many lineups. It's crazy. Him and Paris Campbell. I love, I won't be able to play all of them at all, but they'll have one of them in almost every lineup, and I'm going to play Diontae a ton.
Wow. Do you put Slayton behind both of those guys?
I love Slayton, but I probably do just for the $500. I think I save it. I do like Slayton, but yeah, I probably go those two guys ahead of him at 4,500.
Okay.
And that's the problem is MVS, who we mentioned, Marquez Valdes-Scantling's 4,600, and I like him in this offense, but I just think I like the other two guys more. I don't think I'm going to play any of them because there's no way. It's hard for me to get off those other two guys to get to him.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah. I was shocked when I saw Johnson's 4,500. I was really surprised by that.
Well, I mean, we always get the Monday night and Sunday night guys.
But I was a little surprised because he was really popular in like draft season and, and all that kind of stuff. So I thought it maybe had a little more buzz than that, but apparently not. I'm all in on that one, though. I think it's going to be a really good payoff at 4,500.
Okay. There are two guys I want to ask you about that are sort of in this sub-5 range.
Perfect. I've got three more highlighted. So
See. Okay, good.
Yeah, go for it.
One of them is Russell Gage, who you kind of mentioned before, just how much Atlanta threw last week. Like, Gage had the same number of catches and targets as Jones and Ridley. Your boy Hayden Hurst didn't quite get there. But
Gage like weirdly took away all of Hayden Hurst's targets. It was interesting.
But I just that little nugget I picked up from one of Jerry Donabedian's hidden stat lines this week is that all three of them had 9 catches on 12 targets for over 100 yards. And Gage now playing against Dallas in a game that's expected to have a ton of points, like at 4,800, that seems like a pretty easy play.
Yeah, I like Gage this week. I just like the two guys I mentioned more, so okay. I won't have a ton. But yeah, I mean, the game, if you're playing Atlanta, Dallas stack, and you can't quite afford Julio or Ridley, I mean, I got no problem going with Gage. I mean, coming off 12 targets at 4,800 in the highest total game on the slate, it's hard to really argue against that one.
Yep. Next guy is Sammy Watkins, 4,800.
Nope. Sammy and I have one of those ex-girlfriends. You walk in a bar and you just kind of turn the other direction.
Gotcha.
I have a bad history. And he scored 3 times week one last week and never did anything again. So, but yeah, I mean, you're 4,800 in this offense with Mahomes. I mean, I don't think you could ever fully go wrong at that price. I like other guys more in the range.
It does seem like there are too many guys in the range that are better than him that you don't really need to play him.
Kind of where I felt. So what about under 4,500? Is there anybody there that you like?
I was going to say Ayuk, just because the Jets are so bad, but given he's coming off an injury and has literally never played an NFL game before, maybe there's some
small detail.
Jalen Reagor looks really good.
He had that one big catch from Wentz, and it surprisingly played. We talked last week when like, oh, Rager's out, and all of a sudden Saturday, like, oh, he's playing. I was like, where did that come from?
Where did that come from? Out
2 weeks. It was strange. But
I don't know what to make of the Eagles, other than obviously their line is so bad that like any sort of pass rush, was last week like the perfect storm of a horrific offensive line riddled by injuries against what could be the best pass rush in the NFL?
Chase Young is a monster.
He's a monster.
He is so good. Coming out playing one game, I could not believe how good he looked. And the moves he puts on, he's like, it looks like an 8-year veteran. It's crazy.
Yeah. So like I was putting some stuff together and I was looking at unrealized yards. So basically like air yards minus receiving yards. The number one unrealized yards player in the NFL was DeSean Jackson. So DeSean Jackson had 46 receiving yards and a league high 210 air yards. Rager was second with 89 unrealized yards. He had 55 receiving yards on 144 air yards. So it's like literally the top two guys in the entire league are from Philly. Your boy Allen Robinson was third, 74 on 150. But, like, is that enough? Like, I feel like on a different week, we'd be all over Jalen Rager. But, like, I just really struggle to put him over any of the guys we've spent the last 5 minutes talking about.
Yeah, I think you kind of summed it up for me. I think he's interesting. He had four targets last week in that 55-yard catch, and they like to throw the ball deep. For me, it's just strictly I just like other guys in the range more. And I still have a couple here that I like more than him that we haven't even mentioned yet.
Is one of them Corey Davis?
One of them is not Corey Davis. That kind of goes into Sammy Watkins' ex-girlfriend.
Oh, okay. Seven of eight for 101?
Yeah, I mean, he looked good. 4,000? This is a guy that was a top five pick in overall.
I wrote that game up, and I was just like, Corey Davis is a guy.
Yeah.
Like, I gave him no thought. I said something like, he doesn't have the volume or doesn't have the yards. And he had both in that game. Like
he did. He looked like the number one pick that he was. I think in a game where they're 10-point favorites, I probably would just go elsewhere.
Yeah. Thankfully, like you have Derrick Henry. It's not like they have like a messy backfield that you're like, I don't know if I really want to take 50% of 40 rushing attempts or, you know, hopefully 35 rushing attempts or whatever. Like, you know, you're just getting 90% of them.
As someone who has AJ Brown in a lot of places, it was not fun to look up and see 84 catch the ball every single time.
Yeah.
Every time. I was like, oh, AJ. I'm like, nope, Corey Davis again.
Yeah.
So a couple guys I want to talk about here before we go into tight ends and get out of here. Mike Williams for the Chargers, 4,200 on DraftKings. He had 9 targets last week and almost all of them were like deep downfield. He ended up 4 for 69. It is pretty clear to me that Tyrod likes taking a couple shots downfield to him. Obviously, it's only one game, but he's just so cheap on DraftKings. He's 4,200. He's 5,800 on FanDuel. I don't know. He seems like a pretty decent play to me for not a cash guy, but a GPP guy. I mean, when you have any balls downfield, I think one's going to hit at some point.
Mike Williams is fourth in unrealized yards last week.
There you go. So, yeah, every single one was like him jumping and like getting it on his hands and almost catching it, almost bringing it in. He had like 3 almost spectacular catches. I think he's a talented guy. I just think 4,200 is a really good price for him.
Yeah, no, I think that's fun. I put together basically like air yards per dollar based on DraftKings prices, and Williams is third.
Yeah, I think he's very playable this week, and I probably have him a lot more if there weren't
so many other guys to play.
Yeah, I love it down here. If Godwin doesn't play at 4,100, do you entertain Scotty Miller with 6 targets last week from Tom Brady?
You mean Tampa Bay Julian Edelman?
Tampa Bay Julian Edelman, yes.
That's what I saw on Twitter. That's the same.
Yeah, thing. There's a lot of that. I'm not going to get into why they make those comparisons, but
because he's white.
You know, it's because he's white.
That's it. No.
4,100 on DraftKings. I don't know. If Godwin doesn't play, they could pepper him in a game where Carolina's not very good. I think I like Williams, the other guys we mentioned, more. But, you know, I think most weeks, if we're like Scotty Miller at 4,100 with all those targets, I think we'd pretty in on him. But I think it's just a kind of victim of circumstance here.
That's how I feel. I that doesn't jump out at me as something I need to play.
So the last guy I got here is 3,800, and you're going to love it.
Cephas?
Nope.
Oh. No, don't.
Richard Sherman's not playing.
Oh, my God. Get out of here. Get out of here.
Nice game script. 7-point underdogs. Rashad Perriman, 56 snaps on offense last week, had 5 targets. Rashad Perriman will earn value at 3,800 this week.
Oh.
You're not very high on the Jets these days, are you?
No. The part of the reason why I am scoffing at this is when I put together these like blind stacks, I did running back, defense, and wide receiver one, opposing wide receiver one.
Okay.
So in this case, you're obviously looking at Mostert, the San Francisco defense, and Perriman.
Okay.
On the entire slate, they have, let me see. Oh no, that's the Jets implied points. Obviously that's going to be different for San Francisco.
What was Jets implied points? Like 33, 35, somewhere there?
Yeah. so San Francisco has 25 and a half implied points, which is like the same as the Colts or close to Arizona.
Okay.
That combination, so Mostert, defense, and Perriman is the 17th most expensive on the slate, as weird as that sounds. So basically there are six combinations that are cheaper than them, but none of them have as high of an implied total as the 49ers do. So just like it jumps out, like Mostert's cheap. The San Francisco defense is very much not cheap, but if you combine those with how cheap Perriman is, it kind of jumps out at you. And I jumped out. I was like, oh, and then I saw Perriman and I'm like, I'm out, but I get it.
I'm kind of a guy that thinks Breshad Perriman's pretty talented.
That's fine. The Jets certainly do.
Akilah Witherspoon is probably going to play as long as he's out of concussion protocol for Sherman. Akilah Witherspoon, Shanahan had to yank him by the horse collar to get him out of the game fast enough against Minnesota in the playoffs. Like, he's pretty bad at guarding anybody.
Yeah, he would start for the Jets right away.
For sure, and the Vikings. But I think Perriman's going to hit one deep, and it's a GPP flyer in every way. I think at 3,800, I think it's going to work. The problem is Corey Davis is 4,000, Mike Williams is 4,200, Miller. I mean, all these guys are definitely probably better odds to kind of definitely better floors.
Right.
I'm going to have Perriman in a lineup or two, and I'm going to text you when he scores.
Okay, that's cool.
Let's jump into tight ends real quick. We're going a little bit longer. We got to get out of here, but. Tight end top, we got Andrews, Kelsey, and Kittle. I have no issue with them. Obviously, Kittle, I'm not going to play because he's questionable with the knee. Kind of, any play, if he does play, could send him out for the rest of the game, and they'll be very careful with him in a game that they're favored. But I like Andrews probably the most. I don't think I'm going to play in the top three, though, just with the way I'm building around other positions.
You don't put Ertz in this group?
I don't put Ertz in this group.
Wow. Why not?
Because it might not be the best tight end in his own team.
Oh, okay. I get it.
I love Ertz, went to Stanford, but I just think when they get a play set up where they go a little bit deeper with the tight end, I think it goes to Goddard. He had 9 targets last week, yeah. And 8 for 101. He looked really good. I just think week to week it's gonna be tough to time which of those guys gets the red zone looks, so that sort of thing.
What jumped out at me this week is obviously we have every tight end we want to play, but it's all the guys that we have previously played at much cheaper prices. We've played TJ Hockenson at 4,000 and now he's 5,200. He was 4,200 literally last week. Yep. Hunter Henry, we played cheap. He's 51. Goddard, you're now paying $5,000 for the second.
I couldn't believe the Goddard price when I saw
it's crazy. Higby's 4,700. Your boy Hayden Hurst, 46. None of these guys are cheap. Nope. And I'm just somebody who generally scrolls to the bottom and I work my way up with tight end. Mm-hmm. And so, you're going to have to really like all those cheaper wide receivers that we went through if you want to play one of these guys, because, I don't know where else you get the money unless you pay down the running back.
Do you have a guy in that group, the 4,000 to 5,000 you like more than everybody else?
I
do.
I went, lower actually, but, I think you can make a decent case for Noah Fant if
look great.
If Sutton doesn't play again, or even if he does, but he's the thing about Fant, which is very different than almost all of these guys, is that he can make big plays, and you just don't get that with tight ends. Generally, you're just relying on the 8-yard touchdown because they happen to get the end zone target. Not to take anything away from Kelsey and Kittle. But for the price, at least, Fant has upside that the guys around him generally don't. Gronk isn't going for 85 yards.
Yeah, I agree there. If I had to go in this range, Fant was kind of one of the guys. I like Jonnu Smith a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I actually like Tyler Higbee this week. 4,700 on DraftKings. A little pricier than I want to go, but for all the Gerald Everett offseason talk, you know, Higby only did well because Everett was doing, you know, wasn't there. Gerald Everett ran 8 routes last week. Tyler Higby played 90% of the snaps. The Philly corners are good. So, you know, that may, you know, funnel some action to him if Woods and Cooper Kupp aren't quite as open. I think Higby could be a pretty good focus this week. He had only had 4 targets last week, but 3 catches of 40 yards. If I were to go someone in this range, I think I'm going to go cheaper, but Higby's my guy in the 4-5 range.
Would you go even lower?
I would. So we got I got 2 guys in the 3,000s and I got 1 in the 2,000s.
Love that.
My 2 in the 3,000s, Logan Thomas at Arizona, really active last week for Washington. Had 8 targets, including a red zone touchdown, 4 catches for 37 yards. And of course we got, you know, we're going back to the tight ends versus Arizona, which is Kittle didn't do much last week, but he was 4 catches, 44 yards before he got hurt in the first half, and he's kind of a decoy in the second half. Isaiah Simmons was kind of patrolling the middle of the field a little bit, but I think if 3,600, Logan Thomas, you get somebody that had a ton of targets last week. Obviously, Dwayne Haskins likes him against a defense that can't stop the tight end historically. I'm pretty in on that play at 3,600.
I mean, he led them in targets and air yards.
Yeah, I mean, that's, and he's a guy who's more athletic than most tight ends. I mean, he used to play quarterback.
Yep. Is the other one Jordan Akins?
The other one is you're going to get mad at, too.
Oh, my God. Chris Herndon?
Chris Herndon for $3,400. He had 7 targets last week. Yeah. He had 6 catches.
Herndon's the best receiver on the team.
The Jets are going to have to throw at some point, right?
Yep.
$3,400, I think. I think I like Thomas a little bit more, but Herndon was my second choice down here.
No, I think that's fine. I get it. I think Herndon might be a better play than Perriman.
I think that's probably fair.
Just because I think it's more likely that Herndon catches 6 balls than Herndon gets an 80-yard touchdown.
And you get to cross off tight end off the list, too.
Right.
So under 3,000, I've got one, but it requires George Kittle not playing.
Oh, I see him. There he is. Okay. Wow, he's 2,600.
Jordan Reed is 2,600. He actually played last week. You know, he had 2 catches. Kyle Shanahan mentioned earlier this week that they need to get him more involved. He only played 10 snaps, so I don't think you can do it if Kittle plays. You know, I think they're going to use him in some 2 tight end sets, but it's probably not enough volume if Kittle plays. If Kittle sits, though, Jordan Reed is a guy that, you know, will probably get hurt at some point during the game. But before that, athletic, talented, has been very good in the past when he's been healthy. In a lineup, a team that needs someone to catch the ball, I think if Kittle is in play, I think Jordan Reed's a pretty much automatic play for me at 2,600.
I was going to say, he's definitely going to be the most popular tight end on the entire slate if Kittle's out.
Yeah, if Kittle's inactive, everybody's going to throw him in, right? I mean, I don't think I'm profound or breaking any news there, but 2,600, if people don't know, I mean, that's super cheap and could let you do so much elsewhere and will be very involved if Kittle sits.
They're on the first wave of games, too, so we got
They're the 10 a.m. start. Game,
but, but that's more that we will know right away if Kittle's in or not.
One of my bigger letdowns of 2020 is that the Niners play these back-to-back games in New York, and I was going to come out for either one or both of them and can't do it because, you know, there's no fans of the game. So I was bummed when the schedule came out. I was really excited for the back-to-back New York games. I got a lot of friends in New York, and I was going to come out for one of those games. It's a bummer that there's no fans.
That is a bummer.
Yeah. I would have made you go to the Jets game.
It would have been my first Jet game in years.
Could I have convinced you or no?
Probably not. I would have met you somewhere else.
Come on. If I'm out there, you wouldn't go to the game with me?
I would have like really tried my best to do anything else with you.
That's amazing. I love it. Real quick on defense. Where are you going with defense this week?
Down.
But where down? Yeah. I've got one I love down. So I want to hear what you got.
The one that I looked at first was the Giants, which is crazy because they're terrible, but.
And cause you love Mitch Trubisky.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's really, that's where I go with that. It's like, who are they playing? Oh, they're playing Trubisky, then that's fine. Like, I think...
How much are the Giants?
2,400.
You got to go $400 and you'll do much better.
Yeah. I actually think the Cardinals are okay playing Haskins. I was actually surprised to see, and I mean, obviously they were absolutely dominant last week, but that Washington was more expensive than Arizona, despite Arizona being the favorite.
Washington had 700 sacks last week, I suppose, is why.
Yeah, no. That's definitely.
Yeah. And people like, Rams? I've seen a lot of, like Washington this week too. I don't think I'm going back there, but I just don't like my defense going against Kyler Murray having to sack him because he just gets away from everything.
Right, right. So you like the Rams against the Eagles?
Love the Rams. 2,800 on DraftKings. I mean, the Washington had 8 sacks last week. The Philly can't block anybody right now. The Rams had 3 sacks against Dallas. The one thing they can do is pressure the quarterback. Mm-hmm. I mean, Aaron Donald, they're going to have to triple team him to stop him at all. They're going to have to put 3 guys on him, and then everybody else is going to rush through. You give me an offense. I mean, I love Carson Wentz. You're going to give me an offense, though, that can't block anybody against a team that can rush the passer pretty well. I want pressures on the quarterback with the defense, make some mistakes. If the Rams were 3,400, I probably wouldn't be excited. I'd probably play like the Bears or Steelers or Ravens instead. But at 2,800, a team that can't block anybody, I'm all in on that.
Love it. Love that.
Yeah, I mean, just think that, you know, I'd like the Niners, but they're 4,000. I think they're gonna rush the crap out of Sam Darnold. I think they're pissed off about last week and tired of chasing Kyler Murray around. I think they're gonna really hit Darnold a lot. You know, Buffalo against Miami, but they're expensive. I'm gonna save 1,000 to go to the Rams pretty much on most of my lineups.
Yep. No, I think that's the right call for sure.
Anybody else that you want to discuss? And I think we kind of hit everybody. A lot of guys, a lot of fun plays this week. It's a really fun, interesting slate. I'm really curious to see how these cheap receivers are going to work out because I've never liked this many, so it can't work well, right?
I mean, on the positive that you don't think any single one will be all that popular. So even if like one of the ones that you didn't take goes off, like it probably from a popularity standpoint isn't going to hurt you like so badly, at least in cash.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think we talked about probably 8 to 10 guys in the 4,500 below range. I think that enough right there is enough to make sense. So there's nobody's gonna be super high percentage, like you said.
Right, right.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast, the DFS Friday version. Thanks everyone for listening. We really appreciate that. Again, if you please rate or review the podcast, that'd be fantastic. Would help us out a lot. If you want to follow Andrew on Twitter, he's at RotoWire Andrew. I am at Scott Jensted. Other than that, hope everybody has a good DFS week. We'll be back at you next weekend with week 3. Take care.